Who is this motherfucker in a goddamn tattered rags of a yellow king outfit? Prospero gave distinct orders. No yellow king, yellow sign, tattered rags, masks, nothing of that. Do not speak of the Hyades. No one shall dress like they do in dim Carcosa. And yet, a stranger perhaps in their midst, certainly none of his friends would be doing this, and the others, they should know what the fuck is gonna happen to them if they get caught doing something like this. Prospero threw himself into the next room, a red room with simulated blood-drenched walls, frozen in time, drips of blood falling from the ceiling but not falling, suspended to look as such, the ghastly room they called it. A lot of real blood in here too, of course, as the party is into its fifth month. Outside, as far as anyone knows, the world is dead. The whole world, as far as anyone knows, is dead. All of it. Everyone. All of it. Everyone. But then, Prospero wasn't really sure if he'd seen what he thought he'd seen. It's almost like a phantom, like a hallucination. And he was pretty fucked up, and he'd been drinking wine, non-stop, guzzling the finest wine, 200 years old, drinking it down. And he had been taking a decent amount of drugs. He can't even remember what all he's taken. Sometimes in a state of alcoholic blackout, he would take hallucinogens and really be fucked for a few days. Everything had gone hazy for him, grown hazy for everybody. His two new girlfriends, Alice and Dorothy, were spending more and more time hanging out up on the rooftop. From the peace, from the madness, from the occasional murders and rapes and brutal violence that interspersed amongst the partiers as the delirium was in its sixth month. In the red room, people are fucking against a wall, vomiting in a corner. The couch has several bodies piled on it, some unconscious, some engaged in carnal acts. Others staring off in a daze, but all in one big, multi-human pile. Dead dwarf on the floor. His intestines showing, one of them has been pulled 3 feet from his body and smeared by many trotting feet. But there's no sign of the strange apparition he had seen. So he walks into the next room, thinking this must have just been my imagination. And he sees him again. As he's entering the yellow room, full of yellow flowers and yellow plants, endless bananas, preserved, dehydrated and preserved, crunchy in their breakaway peels, yellow light blazers of fire with yellow powder for a brilliant yellow glow, and he only sees this tattered yellow figure leaving the room on the other side as he's entering it. Cages full of purple birds up near the ceiling, chirping incessantly. Once again, the figure is leaving this room, the purple room, as Prospero is entering. And Prospero notices that in a line from where the stranger walked above him, all those purple birds are laying dead on their sides in their cages, like he caused a wave of death as he walked through. Lots of drunks, lots of oblivious people in circles and lots of rings of oblivious people talking loudly and ignoring Prospero's screams to get out of the way as he boots and kicks them out, forcing person after person out of his way. And he runs, nearly up chucking, feeling half sick with more than half sick from all the wine and rich food and cup of vaginal cum collected from many girls the night before. He's in the gray room. Everything is shades of gray, white or black, but predominantly gray. People are dancing in big clusters, and there's that motherfucker again. He screams for his men, who he sees in the corners, to seize that motherfucking man in the yellow, tattered robes. And they go after him, as does Prospero, as he's leaving into the next room. Prospero's screaming every motherfucking cuss word he can think of at the top of his lungs. You fucking goddamn shit-eating, cunt-drenched whore of a fuck! Stop! But he's not stopping. Prospero's screaming, kill that man! Kill that man! And finally, in the pink room, the man is halted by a big wedge of unconscious bodies and one big after-fuck stale pile. Prospero seizes the man by the shoulders and spins him around. He is staring into the face of a dead man. Dead man of faded eyes and a rictus smile.
Prospero. Prospero.
Gurgles the man. Prospero turns white and completely sober in a flash of horror. And he turns, spins, falling to his knees, getting up and running, throwing people out of his way. But when he does, he realizes as he gets close enough to force people out of the way that these people are all sick with the yellow fever. You can see it in their yellow faces and their insane eyes and smiles. The yellow fever is here. The yellow fever is here in the fortress. And wherever Prospero runs, the king in yellow is in that room too already. Sometimes at the other end, sometimes so close on the through the doorway that Prospero smashes into him and falls, gagging, feeling sick, feeling really sick, puking at the feet of the king in yellow. Prospero realizes that he's been seeing this for some time as he heaves and heaves again, puking endless rich expensive foods and wine and pussy juice onto the shoes, the boots of the king in yellow, who stands completely motionless above him. He can't stop puking. He's puking and retching and puking and puking and puking. He realizes that There's been signs that yellow madness has taken hold for a while now, and he was just too fucked up to realize. He can't get up now. He realizes he's had yellow madness for a while himself, and was too fucked up to realize. And the others are falling, puking, a symphony of wretched, guttural, spasming strains, horrible retchings, spittings, pukings, gagging sounds, the sound of endless stomach's contents erupting like molten lava to spill upon the floor in nasty, liquidy splashes. And this puking goes on and on and on for hours, hours of agony and misery, where the people would kill themselves if they had the strength. Only a few nearer windows that were open towards the floor several stories below were able to summon the strength to crawl out the window and cascade down amongst the bodies of all the villagers who had tried to get in, desperate to avoid what's happening to them now. It was happening to them for a long, long time. So long, in fact, that many think that they are already dead and in hell. Already dead and in hell. Somewhere between 12 and 16 hours later, the last death rattle sounds in the fortress of Prince Prospero. Every single man, woman, and child here is dead. Dead with a ghastly look on their faces, and their faces are yellow and mottled and haggard, aged looking already. Bodies that succumb from the yellow fever madness, decomposed rapidly after death. Breezes from the open windows stir the flesh and causes it to chap, turn a pale white, flake away, and as powder, slowly over the hours, bodies are decompose until even the bones are powder, a yellowish, sickly looking, greasy looking powder, in little mounds by the thousands all over the great fortress of Prince Prospero, who is one of the dead mounds amongst them. The last and late coming reveler at the party, the King in Yellow, grins his rictus grin as he opens the gates, the front gates, which were elaborately and permanently sealed from the inside to prevent such an opening. And the sunlight of day hits the antechamber as he walks out onto the empty earth, where only animals and plants remain. Stillness over the hamlets, stillness over the cities, stillness over the little farms, stillness in the fallout shelters, stillness in the secluded mountain cabins, stillness as far as sentient life is concerned. As far as sentient life is concerned. But maybe not total stillness. We see somewhere this little clearing in the woods. Beautiful clearing of a babbling brook and lush grass. We see the lion, king of this world. And he's fine. He's stretching out happily, peacefully, sleeping on the lush green rolling grass. And he wants nothing from no one. He's just happy to be there. But he's okay. And what's that up on the rooftop? Why, it's Alice and Dorothy. Turns out that at some point, the goings-on down there were too sick and fucked up and dangerous and delirious. They couldn't walk to the cafeteria without stepping in human shit. And they had enough of it. So they had gathered up endless food and water and such supplies and smuggled them up to the flat platform at the top of the place. Sealed it off. Decided to stay here for days and days until the whole thing blows off. And they realized at some point that there's no more sounds coming from the party. No more sounds at all coming from the party. Because they were the only ones left in the building. Someday they would reproduce with the lion and have little human lion hybrids that would populate death. Okay. Plus there's a couple trolls and a midget and a couple nuns in a monastery somewhere. Left the entire sentient life scene. The end.